Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name is Liz. I am one of the ministers here at St Hills. I am normally at North Bulwyn on a Sunday, but in a number of weeks' time, I will be here every week. And I'm looking forward to getting to know those of you I don't already know and getting to know those of you I do know better. As I often do when I'm preparing a sermon, as I was sort of reflecting on this passage and what God wanted us to talk about and think about this morning over the last few weeks, there were two kind of moments in my life that kept coming back. The first one was from when I was probably somewhere between 6 and 8, let's say. It's one of my like most vivid childhood memories. Now, who grew up in a church where you did like Sunday school exams? Exams. Okay. There was more people at 9 a.m. that were the same. There was a lot more people at 9 a.m. that also grew up in Sunday school exams. So I grew up in a sort of fairly traditional-ish Baptist church until I was about 10. Then my dad church planted because he got over the traditional side. Anyway, and we used to do Sunday school exams. And one of my most vivid childhood memories is learning the first 4 verses of Psalm 23 off by heart in order to dictate it to someone as part of my Sunday school exam. We didn't have to do verses 5 and 6 because only the older kids had to do verses 5 and 6 because I was apparently too young to remember all 6 verses, only 4 for me. Anyway, that was the first thing that came up, which I'll come back to part of that later. The other part that God sort of brought to my heart and brought to my mind as I was reflecting on this passage and what God really wanted me to say today was a moment in my own faith journey where I suddenly realised, probably in my mid-20s, that I knew a lot about God, but did I actually have a relationship with Him? And I realised in that season of my life that I knew a lot about the Bible. And I spent a lot of time reading my Bible, or, you know, a lot for a 20-something-year-old. But did I spend time with Him? Did I actually truly have a relationship that went beyond with Him? And that's the message that I felt that God had for us as a community today. We can know a lot about God, but do we actually know Him, know His heart? Know His character, know His desires and wills. And you might be sitting here thinking, what's the difference? And for some of us, there might not be. But I can only tell you what I see as the difference from Scripture and from my own life and encourage you in that this morning. So the first thing I want to encourage us in is the fact that God wants to have a relationship with us. I think one of the parts of Genesis and God's relationship with Adam and Eve in Eden that we might not always take time to reflect on is when God comes looking for Adam and Eve after they've eaten the apple, right? And I can't give credit to my own mind for this. I would never have connected this passage with this theme. We're talking about stewarding our relationships. But the book that we've kind of been using as the ministry staff led me in this direction. Anyway, so they've just eaten the apple and they're hiding from God, and they're hiding because they hear Him coming towards them in the garden, having a nice walk in the evening breeze or something like that is how it's phrased in the NIV. And the interesting thing about it is that they're not hiding because they're surprised that God is coming. At no point are they shocked that God is there. They're actually shocked at their own state. They're kind of like, ooh, gosh, hang on, God is coming and we, ooh. God came to Adam and Eve regularly in the garden, we can only assume. God walked beside them, He walked with them, He was present with them in that place. Now, every part of me wants to go, what did they talk about? Did they, like, just talk about what the animals got up to that day? Oh, that dog over there did some pretty funny stuff, God. Like, it's a fun story for the day. But honestly, I think they probably just spent time enjoying being in one another's presence in the way that we do with people that we love. And in the same way that God spent time with Adam and Eve, he actually wants to spend time with us. I feel like sometimes in our culture of driven evangelism, which is a good thing, obviously, but we can sometimes get caught up in the waiting for heaven part of our relationship with God and forget that actually those of us who are Christians, followers of Jesus, in this moment right here, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And we have access to just enjoy time with God now. Now and then. So this is the first thing I want to encourage you with this morning. That God wants a relationship with us. He loves to be in our presence, and we should love to be in his. And so if you are a believer and you're sitting here, I want you to take a moment to think on when the last time you sat with no agenda other than to be in the presence of God. And life circumstances make that hard at times. I have a 9-month-old girl that I understand. But I want to encourage you to try and carve out a space in your life. And even if you just try and start with a minute of time where you stop and say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I am here and I want to take a moment to be with you. Let me be in your presence. Because for me, that's a key part of how we come to know God and not just know about him. And I think that at times we can use something like a prompt that might help us, which is to think of a time when you felt especially close to God. We don't want to idolize those, you know, mountaintop experiences, but sometimes when we're in the depths of other things going on in our life, being recalled of those moments where God was most present to us can be helpful to continue us on our journey. And so we come to Psalm 23. This beautiful explanation of what it feels like to know God and have a close relationship with him. Like I said, I have known most of the words of Psalm 23 off by heart since I was about 6 or 7. I'm 38, so that's a long time. But if I'm completely honest with you, it's only as I've been sitting with these words in the last 3 weeks, taking time to delve into the beauty of them, of David's relationship with God, that I've really started to feel them and what they mean for us. You see, in the previous 22 Psalms, David refers to God in more distant terms. He refers to him as his king or his rock or his redeemer. But here, this man who was king of this in this world, but started his life as a shepherd, and who knows what it is to truly care for his sheep, calls the Lord his shepherd. It has a level of intimacy that we can overlook if we don't take the time to really truly reflect on it and its meaning. God is not a distant God. We don't have to leave a distance between us and him. If the shepherd leaves the sheep, as Kathy was saying, the wolf is going to come. And the sheep don't run off. They're all gone by morning. And like sheep, we can come near their shepherd. Now, can come near their shepherd. We can come close to God. In the way that a shepherd stands by his sheep, God wants us not to just know about him, but to really truly know him, to stand beside him, to trust him, to know his character, to know his heart, and to be close to him. I love the message interpretation of the last verse of this psalm. It goes like this. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. We who call ourselves followers of God, followers of Jesus, live in the house of God now, here and now, not just in the future, but in this moment now. And there are so many words that we read in the Bible, so many songs that we sing at church, and the words that are there speak of such deep understanding, knowledge, and relationship with God. And I wonder if sometimes we're just trying to sing them, to read them, to try and encourage ourselves to actually feel that way. But we sometimes also don't actually honestly believe that it's the truth for our life in that circumstance. And I want to say that it's absolutely okay to doubt your faith at times, because we don't say that enough in the church. And then people who have doubt in their faith then suddenly believe that all of a sudden they can't have faith in God. But we want to take the space to really, truly, deeply, with every part of our being, know, understand, and feel the words that we are singing, the words that we are reading for ourselves. And as we think about stewardship, as every part of who we are and all the things that we do in this world, and stewarding the things that God has given to us, and stewarding well our relationship with God and with other people, I want to encourage us to work towards truly, deeply believing and acting within the belief of those words we sing and read. Because when we really, truly believe them and live them out, all the other bits of what it means to be good stewards of what God has given us and the world that we live in feel like they get a lot easier. Do we really want to give Jesus our all when we sing a song that has the lines, Jesus, have it all? Or do we actually just want to give him 80%. Keep the other bit for myself. Do we really believe that God can provide our every need, just as he does the birds in the sky and the flowers in the fields, as Jesus talks about in Matthew? Well, for me, that's what it means to go deeper with God. That's what it means to seek to steward well our relationship with him, to trust that he will actually do all that he has promised to do in this life and the next, and that we in turn, as we trust him, act first in the interests of his kingdom, and then he trusts us with the beauty of it. But in order to build that relationship, just like every other relationship in our lives, it needs time and it needs presence. And as we spend more time in God's presence, we become more alert to his will for the world. Our lives are shaped closer to his will rather than our own. And for me, I found that in doing that, as I have sought to go deeper with God in that way, I found that the way that I've approached my relationships with others has also changed. Because when I more deeply understand who I am in God's kingdom, I more deeply understand who everyone else is in God's kingdom. And we're all flawed people in some way, shape, or form. And we all have strengths and gifts and beautiful things that we have to offer one another and the world. And I find that as I've spent more time just seeking to be with God rather than trying to do everything for Him, I have more grace for other people. I get less stressed by the bad drivers on the road. I find I have more time and space for others. I still get stressed by them, don't worry. Some really bad drivers in this area. But it slowed me down. I think it's that and parenthood. They've slowed me down to be more present to what's going on in the world around me. Because we want to honour the people that God has put into our lives as we share life with them. We don't want them to be seen as a transaction that we're seeking to just do a words. We want to actually see people as people. And we want to be open to God moving us and bringing new people into our lives. I think in this season that we're in at our church, there is a beauty to each of the, well, three communities that we're about to bring together. But if we all decide that we're just going to stay within our little clique of people, then are we stewarding well any of the things that God has given us? Many of us, well, I know I've been to a number of churches, and I assume that at least one other person in this room has done the same thing as me. Well, you've walked in the front of a church. You know, I was moved interstate when I was in my 20s, so moved interstate, tried to find a new church. And you walk into churches and it's almost like that. It's like there's a everyone welcome sign, but then actually it's almost like the doors are closed in your face when you actually try to have a conversation with someone. That's not stewarding well God's kingdom. That's not stewarding well anyone's time. What I'm trying to say here, I've gotten lost in my own thoughts, is that our relationships with others are important when it comes to those who we already know. But at the same time, we need to honour the fact that God has walked someone through that door. Or God has walked someone into your child's classroom, or God has walked someone into your workplace, and explore what that means for us in terms of being Christians in this place, in that place, and how God is seeking to use us in those spaces. We want to be open to knowing new people, and there is a tension there in our existing relationships and our time and stewarding well everything that God has done. But that doesn't mean everyone has to be best friends with the person that walks in the door. But how do we as a community love and care for someone who walks in here? And by knowing one another across the room, we can help steward their time and our time well by knowing the people that they will best connect with. We want to follow the lead of the Spirit to follow the opportunities that God puts in front of us when it comes to everything in our life. But today we're talking about relationships. And I want to go back to us thinking about our relationship with God, because I really feel like that's where God wanted me to focus today. So let's go back there. And so I said at the start that the thing that God has been putting on my heart this week is this realization from my own life that I knew a lot about God, but did I really know him? And I would compare this sense to, we might know a lot about, let's say, a footballer, because, you know, that's where we've been talking this morning. We might know a lot about a football club, but we don't actually know the individual players within that club. We might know when they were born or, you know, what club they played for as a kid or what school they went to, what position they play, how many goals they kicked, la, 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 la. But we've never actually stood in their presence and had a conversation with them and gotten to know who they are as people. And that, to me, is how we can find a difference. Because anyone can know a lot about God. An atheist can pick up the Bible and read a Bible and have a whole lot of things that they can argue against you about why they've decided that God isn't real based upon the information that they've read in the Bible, if they want to. But only those who seek to follow him and to actually take him on as their shepherd actually know him. And that takes time and it takes presence and it takes actually being open to hearing from the Spirit of Jesus who lives in each of us. And so at this point, as I start to close up, I want to be able to stand here and give you a 5-step outline on how to go deeper in your relationship with God. And as it turns out, I have 2 points that actually probably apply to everyone. So the first 2 steps of a 5-point outline, maybe, who knows? But one of the things I love most about who God is his amazing ability to actually know us each so individually, so deeply, that the ways that he most connects with me, Elizabeth Webster, who loves to spend a lot of time in prayer and worship, so probably I'm the wrong person to tell people who don't like prayer or worship how to spend time with God. We should all love prayer. You don't always have to like the music. That's fine. Doing a great job, guys. But the way that he comes to meet with me is going to be very different the way that he comes to meet with each of you. And the words that he uses to meet with me is going to be different to the way that he uses words to meet with each of you. And the things that I am going to take out of a verse of scripture might be completely different to what you get. I have had times where someone has come up to me after I've preached a sermon and gone, I really loved how you talked about X, Y, and Z. And I'll be like, I didn't say any of that. Or I don't remember saying it. Because the way that God takes the words that I say and helps you work it out in the context of who you are in your relationship with him is all on the Spirit. And that actually gives me a lot of freedom as a preacher. I just trust that God's doing the right thing in your heart. But so here's a couple of tips on how I found that my relationship with God has deepened over this period of time. Well, the first one is that I spend time in prayer. And for me, well, in this season of my life with a 9.5-month-old, that might just look like sitting in an armchair with a cup of coffee while she's napping, or hopefully napping, and letting my mind go in directions that I feel like God might be leading me, whether that's through scripture, or for me, I'm a journaler, I'm a notebook person, I'm a words person. And so a lot of the time there is one of those involved. And the great thing about that is that actually it's been really great in this season because I don't have a lot of energy for like thinking of new things. And so I've been going back to my old notebooks and having these beautiful times of going, oh, hey, God's answered that prayer. Oh, wow, that's not how God, that is not how I expected you to answer that prayer. You actually took that prayer and you went, and I'm over here. And that is so much better for me than where I thought I was supposed to be going. And then there are other parts where I'm sitting there going, Yeah, I prayed about that, didn't I? And I didn't. And let's pray about that again. And that's what I love about journaling my prayers, because I have space to come back to them. So that when the days where I just don't have the energy or the time, or I can't think of what I'm going to do in my prayer time, I sit there and I read through the things that I have prayed in the past, and I let God shape me in that direction. And then I spend time in the scripture. And I think previously I always had this, you know, we have this, what does God want to say to me today? I'm going to read this passage completely out of context from everything else that's going on around it and just see if there's anything that God has something to say to me today. And you know what? Weirdly, a lot of the time it works, let's be honest. But what I found in this season that has worked for me even better is actually taking the time and space to read a whole letter in one go. Some of the ones in the New Testament are really short. It actually really doesn't take more than 15, 20 minutes to read it. That's not a lot of our time. And you see the whole move of what God is saying to that group of people. Or taking time to read through the scriptures to see how God has moved. Not trying to get something out of it for me, not trying to work out how I need to live my life, but to actually just sit with the story of God and his people and how he has moved over history and see his character. See how he has used flawed people to achieve his good works. See how he allows Abraham to wrestle with him at Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, even maybe we find like 50 people. Like God's like, if I find 50 people who are righteous, I will save them. And Abraham's like, 20? One? And God's like, okay, fine. I will save that person. And he saves Lot and his family, although his wife makes the mistake on the way out. God wants us to see him for who he is. And we can see parts of that as we see how he has moved and used people through history. For me, I like to spend time in the world around me. There are two places where I feel most connected with God, and they're not going to make any sense to you as two different places that work as in the same person. One is the beach and one is the middle of the city. I love to just sit by the beach and just relax and have a conversation with Jesus. And I love to wander the city and feel God's heart for all of the people that are there. And often the people that I feel most compassion for in a strange turn of events are fire and brimstone preachers standing on the corner. Because I feel a heart for the God that I know versus the one that it seems that they know about. And I listen to worship music, surprise, surprise, from the woman who just got appointed as the worship pastor. I spend a lot of time just listening to music. Now, part of that is trying to find new songs for us to listen to, but also I just find peace in that space. That might not be for you, that might not be your way, and some of you are going to have ways that you connect with God that make absolutely no sense to me. But isn't that the beauty about us each being individual people? But I want to encourage you that when I take the time in my life to truly just seek to be in relationship with God, to be with him above and beyond doing things for him, I find that all the other parts of my life and my faith fall into place. It doesn't mean it's easy. The last season has been just thing after thing after thing after thing after thing in my life. Compounded by a teething 9.5-month-old who only wants to sleep on mama's chest from 3 till 5 a.m. pretty much every night at the moment. But I do know that I can trust the one who shapes my life, because I know that he walks beside me and he guides me. And even when it's hard, I know I'm not alone. And that's the most beautiful thing to me about being in a relationship with God. I get to know the God of the universe. You are all going to get sick of me saying a lot about how amazing it is that the Holy Spirit and part of the God of the universe lives and dwells inside of us. To know that he cares for me. And I pray that that is or can be true for you as well. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you walk beside us all the days of our life. Thank you that when we sit and put our trust in you, you are our good shepherd. You walk us beside still waters. Lord, I want to just lift anyone in this room today who is finding struggle with their faith. Lord, may you walk beside them and may we as a community walk beside them. Lord, show them the ways that you are good. Father, we pray that as a community we can be people who deeply, truly know you, that we might shine the character of who you are out into the world around us, that more might come to know you because of the goodness of who you are, the love that you have for us and for the world around us. Lord, and we pray that your kingdom come and your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I'm going to invite Khalil up to continue in prayer with us.